Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. So let's dive into it. Man, you've got a fun day in Vegas today. A couple hours, in fact, away from your panel, if I'm not mistaken.
Unfortunately, I'm actually not. There was a little bit of a mix-up on the conference agenda. I'm not actually speaking today. Our director of esports, Waylon Rosell, is. So he'll be doing the keynote, and I'm just in the audience to help answer questions. I got to do the presentation last week, so he gets to do this one this week.
Very cool. This is a big month as far as you guys, not only everything going on in Vegas, but obviously everything going on in Seoul and in South Korea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, World is our biggest time of year. Most eyeballs tuned in, most fans excited about it. You know, everything on the line for all these pro teams. So, you know, for us, it's must-watch TV.
For those that are kind of curious about what's going on in Vegas, can you talk to me a bit about the business side of it? I know that's something that's been really the game changer in the last few years as far as, you know, these PC gaming and online gaming world, the amount of business entities and the money. I mean, this is really the kind of the future of gaming is what you guys are doing right now in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's going on in Vegas right now is essentially an esports business summit. It's, you know, an organized conference that brings in speakers on behalf of game developers, speakers on behalf of sponsors, sets up panels from where people can learn more about esports, and just generally serves as kind of a connecting grounds for people across the industry. So, you know, interested sponsors can meet the game devs, investors can meet teams, you know, all sorts of new, you know, apparel and technology and everything can be demonstrated. So it's really kind of a coming together of the entire industry that's, you know, pretty exciting to have a sort of visual confirmation of how big the industry is getting.
Is it kind of wild to think of, you know, people like Shaq and Magic that are so into this environment? I mean, I think that that's been a real game changer, is the names and recognition of esports as a whole is really blown up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at the guys who are investing, it's obviously an incredible, it's been an incredible run. You know, whether you think about the individuals or the corporations who are investing, we have, you know, investment from, I think, you know, something like 10 or 12 NBA teams at this point, including, you know, the Madison Square Garden company that owns the Knicks, Golden State Warriors, Houston Rockets, Milwaukee Bucks, etc. You know, for us, that's part of the benefit. That's part of the growth of the industry and the ecosystem, is being able to not only attract but retain, you know, high quality owners and high quality investors and partners who are going to help us, you know, grow the league and continue to challenge our assumptions and make the overall product better.
As far as looking at sponsorships and the companies you guys have gone to, like, how did you approach, you know, entities like State Farm or even like companies like Jersey Mike's? Like, what made you go for certain avenues as far as financing of the sponsorship world?
Sorry, are you asking essentially what made us pick which sponsors we work with?
Yeah, like what made you gear towards certain sponsorships? I mean, you guys have some kind of out there sponsors I don't think people would have realized are involved in gaming.
Yeah, you know, when we first started back in 2012, 2013, the only sponsors who were really kind of interested were those that were endemic to the scene. You know, PC makers like Alienware, or peripheral makers like Logitech or Razer or Plantronics. And so those were our sponsors back then. Since then, we've largely tried to push those to the teams, because we think with the viewership that the NALCS gets, we can bring in bigger sponsors. And so, you know, that's why you see things like we recently launched a global deal with MasterCard to be part of their Priceless Events program, you know, along with, you know, major golf tournaments, major tennis tournaments, et cetera. You know, and we'll partner with different sponsors to kind of help us tell the story to our fans that we think is most exciting and most organic for them. You know, when we bring in brands like State Farm and Acer, you know, it's because we think those brands have relevance to, you know, at a minimum, a lot of the, you know, the fans who are watching and engaging with not only our brand and our product, but those companies' brands and those companies' products, or prospectively could in the near future. So, you know, we want to find brands that are organic, high touch, high interest with our fans. You know, the last thing we want to do is feel like we're, you know, selling out just for the you know, just for the sponsorship dollars. We really want to make sure that there's an exciting opportunity for those brands to integrate with us and really partner with us on a deeper level.
There's a documentary on Netflix, and recently we had kind of some crazy tragedies occur with EA Sports and some shootings. I'm curious to know, on a completely different level of seeing a unique form of violence in this industry that I don't think anyone could have ever guessed would have happened. How do you look at that type of negative element to it and try and get past that? Or what do you say to people that bring those subject matters up? Because I think, especially when, you know, certain gamers call other gamers out through, you know, the police or through Riot things, like, you know, it's interesting that these things have popped up, but it's become kind of a unique issue to the gaming world on a very small scale, but it's been blown up. Can you talk to me a bit about having to deal with subjects like that that I'm guessing you guys never in a million years would have thought would have been an issue?
Well, you know, there's a couple things that you bring up. You know, the larger question for us, and actually something that you know, we've actually taken very seriously and been thinking about since day one, has been the security of our esports events, you know, both when we go on the road and what we have at our studio. You know, from the beginning, we treated our esports events like we had seen, you know, traditional sporting events be treated. So, you know, we've always had, you know, full kind of metal detector, and, you know, we've screened the audience and, you know, ensured both the safety of the players and our audience to the greatest degree possible. And then, you know, when we go to major venues like Madison Square Garden or Staples, obviously we're working with their security staff to ensure the full security of our audience there. You know, what happened in Jacksonville is obviously incredibly tragic, you know, and obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to those families affected. But, you know, the event that was actually, that occurred there, you know, was closer to, if you want to think about it in sort of a basketball analysis, it's actually closer to a pickup game than it was to an NBA game. And so, you know, while incredibly unfortunate, I don't think that specific event necessarily compromises you know, other major events, you know, and we've certainly taken all of the precautions possible to ensure that it doesn't. You know, beyond that, with some of the challenges that certain streamers face, you know, that is certainly something new to streaming in particular. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a problem with esports, but definitely a problem with streaming. And, you know, it's, you know, a challenge in a world where, you know, people have more and more power depending on how much of their digital identity they know. And so, you know, when streamers really try to put themselves out there to connect with fans, it's unfortunate when that sometimes, you know, misses. And so, you know, I think we want to do everything that we can to make sure that our players and our fans and everybody are safe and able to enjoy all aspects of the esport. And so we're going to, you know, continue taking it as seriously as we have since day one.
Where do you see esports in the next 5 years, next 10 years? What are the goals that you guys are hoping to attain?
You know, I think when we look at esports 5 to 10 years out, I think it will probably look more and more like traditional sports does. You know, I think we're already seeing a ton of that in terms of, you know, well-paid athletes on multi-year contracts. You know, I think we'll probably get to closer to, if not having implemented, a geolocation model within North America. So you'll see that sort of regional representation as well. You know, I think you'll also start to see what I call sort of the bottom end of the competitive pyramid fleshed out. Like, now we have a great top of the competitive pyramid. You know, we have the LCS product, we have the collegiate product, you know, we have our academy league for developing talent. But we don't have as much in terms of sort of youth development or other aspects of kind of filling out the competitive pipeline for years to come. Whereas when you look at like soccer or basketball, you know, they have NYSO and AAU and all sorts of sort of training programs. And so for me, that's where the league has an opportunity to grow. Not only because do I think it's actually a valuable arena in which kids can learn, you know, teamwork and collaboration and discipline and communication and strategy, But I also think that it will be the feeder into an industry that has, you know, a lot of opportunities for, you know, passionate, talented people. And, you know, some of them will go on to be pros and, you know, have great careers and make a ton of money that way. You know, but maybe some of them will just go to college on scholarship. Like, right now we have over 800 students on scholarship across the country for playing League of Legends. And, you know, in 5 to 10 years, who knows how big that number could be. And some of those players might go into the pros, and some of those players might go work for teams or come work for Riot on part of the broadcast, or, you know, become journalists in the industry or their own content creators. You know, there's such an opportunity to grow the industry right now that I just hope we're able to take advantage of that to the fullest. And if we do, you know, 5 to 10 years out, it starts to look really fun.
For those that are just kind of getting into being a fan of the certain teams or, you know, certain players, can you give us a heads up into anyone you think we should keep an eye on, any players, any teams, anything that we should notice in the next, you know, few tournaments, or especially what's going on in Seoul right now?
You know, so the three teams that we have for North America that are over in Seoul and will be participating in Worlds all kind of have their own individual exciting components. So they've got Cloud9, who's playing in the play-in group stage, qualifying as the third seed coming out of North America. You know, historically an incredibly successful team from North America. They have, you know, one of the best players in the region is their AD carry, a guy named Sneaky, who's, you know, a super prolific content creator and, like, very organically connected to the fans. They also have a player who came out of our scouting ground development program last year. So, you know, a year ago, this kid was not on any pro team, not even on the radar of a pro team, watching Worlds from home, and this year he's playing in it. So, you know, some pretty cool stories there. And then the two teams that we have that are qualified as our top two, who are qualified directly to the main group stage, you know, for 100 Thieves, I would say that Aphromoo is going to be your king, your captain there. You know, it's a brand new team that he sort of built and was able to take to Worlds in their first year, which is obviously really impressive. And then the top team that we have is Team Liquid. You know, it's their first time at Worlds, but they're captained by a guy named Doublelift, who is, you know, one of the strongest players in North American history, you know, an eventual Hall of Famer for us. You know, incredibly prolific player, you know, I think 5 or 6 championship titles to his name in North America. So, you know, he's been really instrumental in building this team out, and, you know, he's going to be one of the biggest question marks on how far North America can go this year. So, you know, we're super excited to watch them play, super excited to cheer on our boys across the pond, and, you know, games, thing, you know, right now, it started 2 nights ago, and they'll be running for, you know, 19 more game nights, culminating in the finals on November 3rd.
Chris, kind of last question, is this the hype time of the year for you guys. How crazy is it? How excited are you about what's going on this month, and how, you know, what do you hope people gain from learning about esports, but also learning about what all that's going on in the gaming world? I think it's a real exciting time.
You know, the exciting thing for me about Worlds is it's the greatest opportunity we have to introduce people to League of Legends and League of Legends esports. And, you know, as someone who's been working on this for 6 years now, that opportunity for growth and that opportunity to connect with a wider public is why I've been doing this. So, you know, for me, it's exciting because, like, this really feels like, you know, the time of year when all the eyeballs are on us, when the world is watching. And, you know, we've got an amazing team, and we know how to put on a good show. And, you know, I think if we get we get some really competitive teams making it deep in the Worlds, you know, and the games are good, I think we're set up to, you know, have a really memorable, really incredible experience, you know, culminating in obviously a blockbuster of a show on November 3rd for our finals.
Very cool. Chris, I know Mark Cuban and the Mavericks are starting to get involved, and so thank you for everything that you guys are doing.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Bobby.